The Defense Department wants to get closer to Silicon Valley as part of a new technology offset strategy. In fact, Defense Secretary Ash Carter unveiled the plan in Silicon Valley at Stanford University. And Homeland Security announces plans to establish a Silicon Valley satellite office. Those moves west, not a bad idea, but local venture capitalist Jonathan Aberman argues the government might be overlooking innovation talent right in its own backyard.
There's so many layers to that question. Let's start with the simple one, which is Department of Homeland Security and the Pentagon and the Air Force are saying we need innovation, and the place to find innovation is for us to go to Silicon Valley. I believe that that's a mistake for a number of reasons. The first one is that ultimately, in order to engage with entrepreneurs, the federal government has to change the way they act. Merely showing up and waving a flag is not going to result in anything other than an opportunity to shake hands and kiss babies. And ultimately, innovation is not about politics, it's about execution. That's an important point. The second one, Tom, is that I think that by going out to the West Coast, they are forgetting that ultimately what the West Coast is about, particularly Silicon Valley, it's really about entrepreneurs trying to find ways to make lots of money. The entrepreneurs here in Washington, D.C. are much more interested in national service and have been for a long time. And frankly, there are more software engineers here in this region with expertise and the things the government needs than there is in Silicon Valley. My view is that what's going on right now, it's like the old joke about the guy who goes to look for his wallet underneath the street lamp because the light's good, even though he lost his wallet across the street. And to my mind, this effort to fall in love with Silicon Valley is in some ways like that guy with the old joke.
I mean, in many ways, the Silicon Valley is kind of like the Hollywood North to the political end of Washington, I hate to say. When you look at Google and Apple and so forth, they might fight over certain policy questions such as the internet net neutrality. But on the other hand, there's campaign connection there. I hate to put that motive on,
on this. You could certainly make that connection. And there is a line that you always follow the money. Being a venture capitalist by training, I certainly would agree with that. I think that what you have here is an interesting bit of collective amnesia. Silicon Valley, as you described, only exists because it grew out of the seed corn of federal R&D. The Defense Department and national security needs basically created the beginnings of Silicon Valley by needing semiconductor chips for missiles and the space program.
That's why Fairchild, which was a military
Semiconductor,
is
exactly,
the progenitor of all of Silicon
800
Valley.
800 companies possibly came out of there, including Intel and many others. There's a collective amnesia, and there's also a lack of appreciation that the seed corn that is financed by the federal government R&D, that creates industries, industrial waves. I can draw a hard line, Tom, for you between every big industrial wave in this country from the railroads up through robotics. That was seeded by federal R&D. The federal government and Silicon Valley have a really interesting relationship where, on the one hand, they avoid each other, but on the other hand, they really need each other. But having said that, the collective amnesia, this desire to create business models, particularly in Silicon Valley, that shift externalities on others, that's innovation in a competitive market. That is not innovation from the standpoint of creating new industries. And it's a very important nuance that is lost in the conversation right now. And I think the Obama administration has done a great job of thinking about innovation, but they are confusing business model innovation, which is what the Valley is good at right now, with industrial innovation, which is what we really need to be focusing on in this country. And I think the entrepreneurs that are good at that are more likely to be found in places where there's a higher density of people that are comfortable working with national security, which is why I think they should be spending more time and energy focusing in the D.C. region than they currently are.
That was my question. Is there a cultural mismatch if something like the Homeland Security Department or much less the Air Force sets up an office in the, and they both say they're going to set up satellite offices out there, and here we are, you know, with our uniforms or our national security credentials. I wonder whether they'll get a great audience in Silicon Valley.
Well, I think that whether or not they get an audience, the question to my mind is not, can you take off your stripes and put on a pair of khakis? It's ultimately, do you have the right methodology and means to engage with entrepreneurs properly? And that's what Tandem NSI, the initiative that I'm running here in town, is about. And what we're doing with the agencies is we are taking their science, technology, and R&D requirements and converting them into language that entrepreneurs understand and ultimately joining them up with contract innovations to get money into the entrepreneurs' hands. And that is, in my opinion, the kind of things that the government needs to do. You can change the way you look, but you must change the way you act. And that is what is at stake right now in our country.
We're speaking with Jonathan Aberman. He is the chairman of Amplifier Ventures and founder of Tandem NSI in Northern Virginia. Let's go back to that point about the fact that the Silicon Valley innovation is more business model, whereas around here it's more in the technologies focused on national security.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there seems to be a lot of new products that come from Silicon Valley. So how can you say it's simply business model innovation?
What I'm getting at, Tom, is that the best way to describe it is that you can look at a world and say, when an industry is new, there are lots of opportunities for people to make lots of money because it's novel. For example, when software was new, when computers are new. But as an industry starts to mature, what happens is it becomes much more competitive. It's what I and my colleagues at the Smith School, where I teach, call the red ocean market. It literally is. It's a market where people are competing hammer and tong for the little bit of extra they can get. When you have a red ocean market, which is what software is becoming, the way that you make money is through efficiency. The Silicon Valley business model now is very, very focused, as technology is being very focused on efficiency. Efficiency is great for transferring wealth to shareholders, but efficiency is not necessarily great at creating more overall growth for an economy. It's almost like shifting the deck chairs around the Titanic, sadly. Uber, for example, is worth $50 billion on paper, but ultimately it's blowing up a lot of industries. Good or bad, depending upon how you feel about regulated cab industry. But my point is that Silicon Valley is, in my opinion, in a lot of ways, taking advantage of and participating in a red ocean market that looks cool, looks exciting because the ecosystem and the echo chamber they live in talks about innovation, but in a lot of ways is becoming innovative in finding that little less margin of profit, but is not necessarily innovative in creating new industries. But that's okay, because that's not what entrepreneurs do. The seed corn, R&D, generally comes from larger companies, but more often, it actually comes from the federal government. So I'm not criticizing Silicon Valley at all. I think that how Silicon Valley approaches the business is completely consistent with where they are. But if you want to understand where new industries are going to come from, they're going to drive national wealth, that are going to solve huge national problems, that happens and has happened since the railroads with our federal government.
And do you think the federal government as a whole, or the people at Homeland Security and the Air Force, have an idea of what it is they're looking for? Or are they simply putting their nets in the stream to see what the fish are eating?
Well, so we're at Tandem NSI, we're working with DARPA, we're working with DHS and many of the other agencies that you mentioned, and we're doing it on a grassroots level. The program managers are hardworking, they're innovative, and a lot of them really get it. Tom, ultimately, this will work out well if we give voice to the innovative approaches that many of our program managers have, and we surround them with contract vehicles and surround them with people who can communicate this Venus and Mars moment. In other words, all I'm saying to you is that what the Pentagon and DHS is doing by going to Silicon Valley is overall a very positive thing for national security, because it shows that they understand that to solve the current national security challenges we face, they have to get involved with non-traditional sources of innovation. I think it's terrific. Having said that, for those of us that are listening here in the D.C. region, make no mistake, without active momentum on our part, we will lose a big part of what makes this local economy so wonderful for all of us. That's the first thing. The second is, from the standpoint of the national security people who are listening, you need to make sure that you don't just focus on showing up and being cool. You need to focus on having partners and having methodologies to let you be cool.